Okay, we'll start chanting Namaste. पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे हुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धागोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतट जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोधीणा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकर्केशवः पाराशर्यवच सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके षड्जन षट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल रद्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः Malini, can you see my screen?
Yeah, I can, Ramma. I can see.
Okay, thank you. Sadashiva-samarambhaam Shankaracharya-madhyamaam Asmadacharya-paryantaam Vande Guru-paramparaam Om. So, in the last class, we completed the four angles of Karma Yoga, and also up to the 20th verse of this chapter, we saw that Lord Krishna was talking about the necessity of Karma Yoga for a spiritual seeker, because Karma Yoga is a stepping stone to enter Jnana Yoga. However, we must always remember that Jnana Yoga alone leads to liberation or freedom. Okay, so now the discussion is going to be more in terms of role of a jnani in a society, and more specifically a grihastha jnani, right? A grihasthashrama person who is a jnani. So there are, we saw up to 20th verse Karma Yoga, then we, from 21st verse onwards, Lord Krishna points out that in case of a jnani, Karma Yoga is not required as a spiritual sadhana for him, because jnani is one who has already gone through Karma Yoga and who has gone through Jnana Yoga and attained liberation. So therefore, for such a spiritually wise person, Karma Yoga is not required as his personal sadhana. Right? But Lord Krishna makes a very, very important point. Even though a jnani does not require Karma Yoga for his personal benefit, jnani has to continue a Karma Yoga way of life, right? And as long as he is in the society, and especially when he is a householder, the jnani should continue Karma Yoga as diligently as a spiritual seeker would follow for Chitta Shuddhi itself, right? The only difference when a jnani follows a Karma Yoga way of life is, we do not name it Karma Yoga, we call it Loka Sangraha, right? And we did see the example of Janaka being quoted by Lord Krishna, right? So, it is just a new name when it is followed by a jnani, a Loka Sangraha instead of Karma Yoga. So, Lord Krishna conveys that a jnani does not personally benefit from any of these activities, society will get benefits, and jnani unknowingly becomes a role model for other people, right? So, a jnani becomes a model for a spiritual seeker, right? And therefore, he must be involved in Panchamahayajna, and you can see him doing, in fact, you can see even the Shankaracharyas doing Chaturmasya Vratam every day, 3-4 hours of puja, etc. Not for himself. He is a jnani. It is meant for Loka Sangraha, right? Very, very important. And the attitude of such a jnani itself is very, very different. And this attitude, he actually is explaining, saying that without any attachment, he is doing his Panchamaha Yajna or any other karmas also. Right? So, we were seeing the 25th verse in the last class. Saktaha karmanya vidvamsaha yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvans tata saktaha chikirshur loka sangraham. This is what we saw in the last class. And Krishna had pointed out that jnani and ajnani both have to do karma. Jnani is not for purity or liberation, but serving as a role model. And what will be the difference in their attitude? One may want to know, right? An ajnani is not happy with himself, right? And therefore, he has a self-dissatisfaction. And when he does any action, it is to discover happiness. An Ajnani performs actions for happiness, right? Therefore, there is anxiety associated with it, right? He is doing that seeking completeness, expectation or attachment, right? Jnani is not doing action for fulfillment. He is doing the action with happiness, with fulfillment. So, only a preposition difference. Ajnani is doing it for happiness, for fulfillment, whereas Ajnani is doing it with happiness, with fulfillment, right? And we saw that is why Swamiji's generally have this Ananda associated with their name also, right? So, but here we were speaking about the importance of Karma Yoga from the standpoint of a Grihastha wise person, not a Sannyasi Jnani, very important, right? Because Sannyasa Jnani cannot do most of the karmas, which are entitled only for a Grihastha, right? So, generally, immediately after this, what happens? The Grihastha Jnani has lot of questions. So, can I renounce all the karmas? I am a Jnani now, right? Krishna says, no. Even though he does not require this for Chitta Shuddhi, he will have to continue to do religious duties. Sandhya Vandanam, Shraddham, Pitrukaryam, etc. However, he can reduce karma. Now, a very important warning Swamiji himself gives, he can reduce karma not to be engaged in, you know, watching TV or movies or anything. If he is replacing this karma with Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, then it is perfectly alright. But it is only reducing. A Grihastha Jnani also has to do his Niyata Karma or compulsory duties, right? Otherwise, if he doesn't want to do it, the only option left for him is to take sannyasa and leave home, right? So, for what purpose should the Grihastha Jnani continue? It is for Loka Sangraha, for guiding the society. Therefore, Krishna is now telling Arjuna, assuming that you consider yourself a Jnani, because there was a discussion that started, you still have to do your duty, right? So, what is the difference between a Jnani and an Ajnani, both performing the same karma? What is the phalam? Right? One is doing for Loka Sangraha and another is for Chitta Shuddhi, right? So, now the Sankalpa is different in the case of Loka Sangraha and when you are doing it for your own self. In fact, the Sankalpa is different even in the case of Sakama Karma and Nishkama Karma, which we saw in the second chapter also. Sakama karma is with a selfish motive doing puja for your own sake, your family, my child, my education, my profession, I need money, performing avahanti homa for that, right? That is sakama karma. Then you have a sankalpa which is for nishkama karma. Jnana vairagya siddhyartam, right? Sadhana chatushtaya sampadyam, or you can ask for Chitta Shuddhi, right? All of these are related. Chamadi Shatka Sampattihi, right? So, all of these are for Nishkama Puja. In Nishkama Puja, you don't ask for anything for your family or for selfish reasons. Now, the next stage is Loka Sangraha, where you talk about the whole world being benefited. Swasti Prajabhya, on the other day I spoke about that other verse that we often quote at the end of a puja, where we ask for goodness all around us, for sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, etc. Right? And let the rains come at the right time, etc. Right? So, an Ajnani does an action with attachment, right? And that is asaktaha. And a Jnani does without attachment, asaktaha. Right? The former is a samsari, the latter is a liberated person. So, atmanyeva atmana tushtaha. Lord Krishna is going to elaborate this anyway in the next shloka. Now, in the 26th shloka, Lord Krishna is giving a warning to all the jnanis, right? He does not need to do it, but he is still doing it. Every jnani must be a responsible member of the society. Even if he does not help the society, he should not misguide. Very, very important, right? This responsibility is very important. So, continuing, na buddhi bhedam janayet, na buddhi bhedam janayet, अज्ञानां कर्म संगिनां अज्ञानां कर्म संगिनां जोषयेत् सर्वकर्माणि जोषयेत् सर्वकर्माणि विद्वान्युक्त समाचरन् विद्वान्युक्त समाचरन्. This is a very very important shloka, and as convention has it, I always put 3 stars or 4 stars or 5 stars. The reason being, in case any of you want to get by heart certain shlokas, you may feel free to print these and keep it separately and get by heart. So this is one such shloka and very often quoted by Shankaracharya himself, right? So we find one uniqueness in our scriptures. Very important point this is. What is it? It is full of seeming contradictions. Swamiji often says, if I call a person and say, you are seemingly intelligent, what does that mean? You are not intelligent, right? So there are seeming contradictions in the scriptures, means what? There are actually no contradictions, right? But there are seeming contradictions, because of which Hinduism is a little complex to understand, and without a guru, reading by oneself is a problem, right? And further, we have to understand that the scriptures do not address only one set of people. It addresses different levels of spiritual seekers. Just like a doctor cannot give uniform advice, right? He cannot say, all of you eat half a chapati, right? Then somebody might ask, is it before food or after food, literally, right? So it all depends on the kind of problem you have, what kind of issue you have, are you trying to lose weight, gain weight, are you diabetic, are you not, like that. Even a spiritual seeker has different levels of maturity, right? So this is technically called Adhikari Bedaha, which means the person who is a seeker is different and they are at different levels. So scriptures glorify certain sadhanas for a certain group of people and criticize the same set of karmas in a different context. So often Swamiji keeps saying, you know, there are some translations in the Western world, right? I'm not saying everybody is like that. They do not understand the context or the background or the culture, this various levels of adhikaritvam, etc. So by mere translation, it can give a very, very confusing signal to the person who is reading. So it is very, very important for us to learn these from the appropriate acharya, especially the Upanishads, right? So I thought it is important for me to pull out some of the seeming contradictions and show it to you, so that we also understand and appreciate how it is different and why we need a guru to interpret this, okay? So the first one is from Mundaka Upanishad, okay? This is actually 1-2-1, chapter 1, second section, first shloka. Tadetat satyam mantreshu karmani kavayo yanya pashyan tani tretayam bahuda santatani tanya charatha niyatam satya kama eshavaha pantaha sukrutasya loke. Okay, what this means is, it is talking about, we're not going to get into the meaning of the whole shloka, okay? The one in bold, O seekers of results, perform the karmas regularly, right? So, tan karmani achare, do karma, do japa, do puja, etc. Now, by now you should be able to relate. Whom is this addressing? It is addressing people who are just starting out on rituals, right? And who are in the grihasthashrama, who must do rituals, right? For chitta shuddhi. Do karma, do japa, do puja. Then slowly your puja itself will get refined from sakama puja to nishkama puja. You will get mental refinement or chitta shuddhi. Now, the just 4 verses away from 1-1, right? We have another shloka from another verse from Mundaka Upanishad. Plava hete adrida yajna rupa ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma. Etat seyo yevinandanti muda jaramrityumte punarevapi antyanti. What does this mean? A very strong verse, right? It is talking about people who take to karma are mudaha, right? So there are 18 constituents of yajna mentioned, right? And if they acclaim this as a means for moksha, they are indiscriminate. They enter old age and death again and again. What does this mean? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Why? Because you are continuously doing karma, sakama karma, you get a accumulate punyam and then you have papam also. You exhaust the punyam. It goes back to the sanchita papa punyam and according to law of karma, you keep having birth and rebirth, right? So you will continue in this. So this one seems to actually not condemn this kind of worship, saying that for moksha this is not good, right? So we have to understand that it is only addressing those people, right, who are continuing in this cyclical path of karma without getting exposed to jnana yoga and slowly developing chitta shuddhi and moving to shravanam, mananam and nididhyasana, right? This is few verses away from that verse in the same Mundaka Upanishad, same chapter. Okay, very important to note this. Similarly, in Taittiriya Upanishad, Shikshavalli, I only picked out few sentences from there. Ashtamonuvakaha, very famous portion. Agnihotram cha swadhyaya pravachane cha, praja cha swadhyaya pravachane cha, prajanascha swadhyaya pravachane cha, prajatischa swadhyaya pravachane cha. So what this says is one should perform the Agnigotra ritual, beget progeny, beget grandchildren, etc. It actually promotes grihasthashrama. You continue in this, do rituals, have children, have grandchildren. It also talks about get money the dharmic way, spend on rituals, etc. Right? Now, this is again addressed to the grihasthashrama person who is stepping in, who has to develop chitta shuddhi and discipline through rituals. Our rituals actually help us in getting into a disciplined way of life. We fast, we don't eat until the rituals are over, all of this, right? Now, there is a strong verse, right, in the opposite meaning in Kaivalya Upanishad. Na karmana, na prajaya dhanena, tyage naike amrutatvamanashuhu, parena nakam nihitam guhayam. Vibrajate yatayo vishanti. Now, this is a verse which we normally we chant when we invite a sannyasi jnani to our homes. When we do a bhiksha, when we are inviting a sannyasi jnani home, we are supposed to bring him inside, before bringing him inside the house, give Purna Kumbham and invite him. At that time, we chant this. Then we bring him in and then we do Pada Puja for him, make him seated with reverence, and then we have a way by which we serve food, etc., sattvic food and all. At that time we chant this verse, right? It is through renunciation that a few seekers have attained immortality, not through rituals, not through progeny, not through wealth. Sannyasins attain the immortal self which shines beyond heaven and which is located in the heart. Here we are glorifying sannyasa ashramam, we are glorifying giving up of rituals. Now this is addressed to a different set of audience, right? Adhikari Vedaha. These are more mature seekers who have developed chitta shuddhi and mental refinement, right? And are at a stage where they are actually capable of withdrawing from the world and worldly or materialistic pleasures and pursuits, right? Very important to note that these are addressing in different contexts, different adhikaris. Only a guru can teach us, and of course, bhashyams like Shankara Bhashyam, etc., give us the meaning. Except Kaivalya Upanishad, we have Shankara Bhashyam for almost all the other Upanishads that I have quoted. So that is what helps our Swamijis also to interpret and teach us what is the relevant context in each of these verses, right? Very, very important. Now, the same karma that was useful at one stage becomes a burden at another stage. That is when you start giving up. It is exactly like a child growing in the womb for 9 months. In a third month, fourth month, you don't want the child to come out. You want the child to be in the womb. But nobody wants to hold the baby beyond 9 months because the child has to come out and grow, right? And natural process, the baby is pushed out. So is womb good or bad if you ask, what will you say? It depends on the context. Very similar is karma and rituals, right? Swamiji always gives this example, right? So in Rig Veda, this is a very, very famous verse again. 759-12 Trayambakam yajamahe sugandhim pushti vardhanam urvarukam iva bandhanan mrityor mukshi amamritat. Very, very important and significant verse. It talks about like when the fruit ripes, right? And automatically the fruit will come out and it will come out of the skin or it will come out of the creeper and it will fall. I should grow out of every stage. I should grow out of every ashrama. In everything in life has a validity up to a certain stage, right? In Upadesha Sara, in fact, Ramana Maharishi talks about this. Kriti mahodadau patana karanam phalama shashvatam gati nirodakam, right? The fruits of the actions will pass, right? And the seed of further action will come. So leading to an endless ocean of action, not to moksha. So at the right time, as this prayer talks about, God will help us, right? The Almighty will help us. And we also through karma will be able to develop Chitta Shuddhi and move out of the stage of too much of rituals, bondage, family, etc. and move out, right? The same Grihastha Ashrama, which was very, very conducive at the right time, will move the person into Vanaprastha Ashrama. Today, we don't go into the forest, right? But we will start spending more time in Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. The important point is, karma is not a moksha sadhanam. Karma is an obstacle to moksha. Karma is cause for bondage also. But we have to get out of this very, very slowly, right? So, a jnani who gives discourses in the public should take more responsibility, right? Because there is a great responsibility. He should not ask the grihastha karma yogis to drop karma, right? A person who is not ready should not drop karma and take to sannyasa. That is a warning. And he is also warning the jnanis, the sannyasi jnanis or the grihastha jnanis not to advise people who are not ready to drop the karmas. Instead say, do karma, do, you know, lot of rituals. Oh, you're doing puja, very nice. You're doing Devi Mahatmya Parayanam, do. It is good. You are doing Rudrabhishekam, do. That is why even they are as role models, do Shivaratri Puja, right? Do Chaturmasya Vritam, all of that. So that we follow. Whether it is Grihastha Jnani or Sannyasa Jnani. So, this Adhikari Bedaha is very, very important to note, right? And therefore, the scriptures will glorify certain sadhanas up to a certain stage, right? It is exactly like a child in childhood wanting to buy a balloon, right? If the father gives a 500 rupee note to the child will not know the value of the 500 rupee note. It is only going to cry for the balloon. But hopefully, by the age of 17, 18, the child knows that 500 rupee note is more valuable than the balloon. Very, very important point. So there are a lot of grihastas who come and ask, right, now I want to go after, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, but, should I actually drop earning money, right, and stop working, should I retire, etc., right? Swamiji says, a very important point, even 10 years back, 12 years back, when he used to tell this in the discourses, I used to think how important it is. He will say, when you want to retire because you feel like this, right? And if you're retiring early, right? You try and work and give that money in dharma. If you feel you don't need that money, you have taken care of your children, you have completed your duties, you earn that money and give that extra money to charity or in Panchamaha Yajna, right? Very important point. And he also says, do karma, pursue artha, kama, everything, do pujas, all of that. do it legitimately and develop values and devotion, right, as you do that, right? So in Mundaka Upanishad we have a verse, pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmanah nirveda mayat na asti akrita kritena tad vijnanartham sa gurume vabhigachet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Having examined the world, right, which are achieved, material world, through karma, finally you develop dispassion, right, and then to attain knowledge, this person must necessarily approach with samit in the hand, a teacher who is learned in scriptures and established in Brahman, right, jnananishtha guru, a live, competent guru, who has also had a guru and has come from a guru parampara, learning all the scriptures, right, therefore, the scriptural teacher must not discourage karma, temple visits, earning money, etc. Just make sure you donate also and take care of, you know, all the panchamaha yajnas, right? So Lord Krishna says here, Joshayet. I had to do a long discussion here because there were so many points that, you know, I had to bring out. So a spiritual teacher must encourage puja, japa, at least Gayatri we should not give up, right, for the initiated ones. For the uninitiated ones, there is something called Smartha Gayatri. If you want, you can do that. You can also do Shiva Manasa Puja, any Ishta Devata Puja every day, right? Sarva Karmani, all duties one has to do. So, Grihastha Jnani must persuade all other Grihasthas to follow karma by setting an example himself. Action speaks louder than words, right? Samacharan Joshaye, Grihastha Jnani must himself do with commitment, yuktaha, right? So, karma sangina buddhi bedam na janayet, right? So, majorities of spiritual seekers in the society, right, will continue to serve the, majority of spiritual seekers would actually be still attached to their own karma for selfish activity. Gradually, moving out of ahankara and mamakara and moving towards nishkama karma is their path, right? So from selfish karma, very important, that is sakama karma, one can never come to jnana yoga. You have to graduate to nishkama karma and then to jnana yoga. It can happen in parallel because your shravanam or exposure, right, to teaching can happen, right? But it is an intermediate step and we have to grow out of this, right? So, very, very important. The wise should not create confusion in the intellect of the ignorant who are attached to action. Efficiently performing all his duties with discipline, he should actually inspire them, right? Very, very important. So, he must himself join and do Pancha Mahayajna wherever Atirudram happens. Right, Lalita Sahasranama Parayanam, Vishnu Sahasranama Parayanam, right? The Grihastha Jnani can also do all of this and for some time forget the family, forget the world, as long as he is doing the puja, identify himself with God and Nishkama Puja and be engaged in it, right? Very important verse, verse number 26. Now, in the coming two verses, Lord Krishna is going to talk about the difference in the attitude of Ajnani, Karma Yogi and Jnani, right? Who is Loka Sangraha, her person, right? So there is a Ajnani, there is a Karma Yogi who is an Ajnani and there is a Jnani who is a, also doing Karma Yoga, right? So what is the attitude difference, right? Prakriti Kriyamanani Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. First, the attitude of Ajnani is talked about, right? This person is ignorant of his real nature, okay? He has two powerful misconceptions, right? What are the two powerful misconceptions? One, he identifies with the body mind complex, right? Ahankara. And when the body performs karma, right, he does not say body performs karma. Again, he will say, I am performing the karma, loudly declaring his ignorance. What is the ignorance? I am the body mind complex. Where did we study about this? We studied in chapter 2. I am going to bring up the slides so that after a long time, let's, you know, revise it a little bit. So, Jnani, however, knows, right, that he is not doing any action. So, in the vision of the Jnani, body and I are not identical, right? I am someone different from the body, mind, sense complex. Jnani knows I am the Atma with 7 features. Do you remember the 7 features? Satyaha, Nityaha, Akarta, Abhokta, Aprameya, Nirvikaraha. Right? Where did we see in chapter 2? Actually, those of you who are interested, please go through sessions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. We have dealt with this in detail. Right? We will be revisiting this in chapter 4. Nothing to worry. If you want, you can go through chapter 2, sessions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. So, Jnani knows I don't do any action. In my presence, that is I, the consciousness, body performs the actions. Ajnani is confused. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, karmani, all the actions are kriyamanani, always performed under all conditions, whether the actions are worldly, secular or sacred actions, whether actions are punya or papa karma, whether the actions are physical or oral or mental, all the actions are done by prakritehe gunai. Prakriti means matter. Gunaha means product. Right? So here it refers to why prakriti gunai? Because our body mind is made out of panchabhutam. Panchabhutani. So karmas are activities done by the material body, material mind, material prana, material sense organs. Right now, those of you who are wondering why I am using the word material mind, material prana, I would recommend you go through introduction to Vedanta. These are all part of Sukshma Shariram, and our Shastram says that even Sukshma Shariram is a subtle form of matter only. And they are inert in nature and they are blessed by consciousness and therefore they are enlivened. So, karmas are activities done by material body, material mind, material prana, material sense organs, and none of them is performed by the non-material Atma, which is Akarta Abhokta. This the Jnani understands when he is performing, whereas a Ajnani does not understand that. So, Ahankara Vimud Atma, right? A person who is confused, right? That is an Ajnani. He is identified with the Ahankara or the body, right? So, under all conditions, actions are done by the gunas of prakriti, which means the triguna, sattva, rajas, tamoguna. We will see in detail about it, right, later on in chapter 17 and all, we will see in detail. And prakriti is, product of prakriti means panchabhuta. And he whose mind is deluded by ahankara considers, I am the doer, right? Here he is actually looking at the body mind as himself, I am the doer. Now, if you see, we saw this in the, actually we talked about one particular verse in the chapter 2. I don't know whether you remember, I have brought it up again, which is verse number 22, which is very, very important. On vasansi jirnani yata vihaya, navani grinnani naroparani, tathashavirani vihaya jirnani, anyani sanyati navani dehi, right? So, we saw this and here we talked about this particular aspect, right? So, I don't know whether you remember, we talked about Atma number 1 and Atma number 2, right? Atma number 1 is the all-pervading, non-traveling Atma, whereas Atma number 2 is the invisible body which is blessed by Atma, which is finite and traveling. And the other way of representing it, I said at the time of death, the visible body, the finite achetanam body is left behind. There is an invisible body, which is the sukshma karana shariram, which is blessed by the chidabhasa, right, which is traveling, right? So that part, chidabhasa, is reflected consciousness, not the original consciousness. Original consciousness is sarvagataha, all pervading, right? So the part that leaves the body at the time of death, I explained at that time, I said that it is the sukshma karana shariram with chidabhasa, which has all the imprints of the vasana or the memory of our punyam and papam, right? Now, the wise person identifies with original consciousness, the jnani, whereas the karmi or the karma yogi still identifies himself with the body-mind complex, right? So that is the huge difference, right? So, and Lord Krishna actually compared our body to a temporary dress that we are wearing, and we just cast off the dress and take on a new dress after death. And the traveling part is the one that is carrying all the imprints of our memory, right? So this was something that we studied in session 8 of chapter 2. If you want, you can go through this. So it is very important to understand the relevance here, right? That as long as, you know, I have fear of how long the punyam or the papam, punyam will last, right? I will have this worry or anxiety with which I will perform a karma or enjoy, right? Because I am treating myself as karta and bhokta, right? So the papam will come, punyam will come, it will also go away, right? We will exhaust the papam also. We cannot avoid. This will be the lot as long as we identify with karta bhokta, which is what the ajnani is in the grip of, right? So iti manyate. Whereas a jnani is in the same world, in the same body, right? He is also associated with karma, but his attitude is very different, right? What is his attitude? That is what is discussed in the 28th verse. Tattva vittu mahabaho, tattva vittu mahabaho, guna karma vibhagayoho, guna karma vibhagayoho, guna gunishu vartante, guna gunishu vartante, iti matvana sajjate, hey mahabaho. He's addressing Arjuna, right? The jnani's attitude is born out of awareness of the Vedantic teaching that I am the non-material consciousness principle who is not really involved in the event that is taking place in the material world, right? The material world that can be broadly classified into two groups. Gunaha guneshu vartante. Our body is one material product, right? And from which born out of matter or born out of panchabhutas, right? Body has got akasha, vayu in the form of life breath, agni in the form of temperature. The body has lot of water, it is occupying space. It has solid earth which adds to the weight. So panchabhutas are the material body. The world is also made up of the same panchabhutas, right? And they will continuously interact with each other. And not only that, the body has trigunas, as I said, sattva, rajas and tamoguna, which are called the three types of swabhava. The personality of an individual comes from this three types of gunaha. We saw about this also when we were discussing varnashrama dharmaha, right? What kind of personality suits whom, etc., right? And rajoguna person is a very active person, etc. We saw all of that, right? So, guna means the three personalities, and we are going to study about this extensively in the 14th chapter also. So, different types of body mind, different types of characters, different types of interests, different types of activities, experiences, etc. We will have, because this is the nature of the material world and the nature of the material body. Now, the other aspect is, who am I? I am someone unconnected with both material body and the material world. The second aspect. The body is a temporary vesham that I have for a limited time, right? And what about the free will? What is the role of free will as a human being, right? We do have a free will, and Jnani is fully aware of the fact that we don't have a controlling free will, we have only a contributing free will. What does that mean? Over the material world, I don't have control. I can do what I can do. I can contribute my best, but there are other factors also working. Therefore, I accept whatever be the consequences, right? Similarly, my control over my family members, parents, my children, whom they should marry, how they should live, etc., right? We have only limited control. Their swabhava is different from ours. Their journey is different from ours. A part of it, we may have some commonality. So, with this attitude, when a jnani grihastha functions in the family, right, he will contribute, he will influence, he will recommend, but he is not looking at controlling. And the attitude that he takes towards the results that come out of it is also very different, right? So, he is not overly attached. He may give strong suggestions, but after that he will pray to God saying, let me, you know, understand and accept whatever comes my way. So, a wise grihastha knows an ignorant grihastha, but an ignorant grihastha does not know the limitation of free will, right? Very, very important. That is the reason why even when we as neighbors, we see some of our neighbors having problems, we are able to go and tell them, it's okay, you be calm, etc. But when we go through the same problem, we have a problem, right? We are not able to face it. So, Swamiji actually says, practice neighborization of the problem, of your own problem, right? Stay away from the ahankara and mamakara and see. He uses the term neighborization, right? So, very, very important. We cannot control fully the results, right? Very important, right? And our body also has a prarabdha that we have to go through. We can try and, you know, go on diet, we can maintain our weight, we can do exercise, all of that. But still, even the body has a prarabdha and it has to go through, right? This awareness, na sajjate, is the crucial word. He avoids mamakara and ahankara. So, aim of the grihastha and in the grihastha ashrama is serving the family and growing out of it and not controlling, right? This awareness jnani has got. And such jnanis do exist, and in Ashtavakra Gita, we see a dialogue between Janaka, the great king, who is involved in all responsibility, and there is an argument with Ashtavakra saying that sannyasa is required for jnanam. And Janaka says no, he can live in society without renunciation and remain internally detached like the water on lotus leaf. Very good example given, right? Without getting wet, it is possible. It is difficult, but it is possible, right? And this is the difference between the Ajnani and Jnani. Who Ajnani is full of ahankara and mamakara, and the other one has placed the ahankara and mamakara at the altar of the Bhagavan. So, Atma Nivedana Rupa Bhakti or Sharanagati Jnani is involved in. So, his attitude is different. So, O Arjuna, but the knower of the truth of the gunas and their functions remain detached with the understanding that the sense organs function among the sense objects. Right? He understands. Continuing, Prakriter Gunasam Mudaha, Prakriter Gunasam Mudaha, Sajjante Guna Karmasu, Sajjante guna karmasu, tana krishna vidho mandan, tana krishna vidho mandan, krishna vinna vichalayet, krishna vinna vichalayet. So, unlike a wise person, ignorant person continues to be deluded and he will have strong ahankara and mamakara. And he will continuously struggle to control everything. Right? He will use religion and puja not to drop ahankara, but to develop control, right? He will do puja to control close relatives. My son should be like this. My daughter should be like this, right? And pray for good buddhi for the child, for the son, daughter, and for all you know, they may be doing a reverse puja saying, let my mother and father, right, get good buddhi and actually help me, right? It's mutual, right? Now, instead of using puja to control our close relatives and, you know, pray and develop the ahankara more, we are supposed to use it for diluting the ahankara and mamakara. And the ahankara and mamakara gets diluted by doing nishkama puja, right? Therefore, he says, prakrite guna sammuda, those people who are confused with regard to material product, that is the body, mind and the world, guna karmasu sajjante, they are strongly attached to family members and neighbors. They want to do something or other, make everyone behave exactly as we want. We have specs regarding to how my son should behave, daughter should behave, my neighbor should behave. Very nice example Swamiji gives of Rubik's Cube, right? Without, assume there's no solution. You want to put all the cubes of one face together, right? You will keep on adjusting, you will put that one face together. Then you just turn it and go to the other side and start changing the Rubik's Cube face, the colors on the other face. By the time you complete that, this face has already changed. So if you do not have the solution book, this is what will happen. You will keep on tinkering with one part or one facet of life and it will keep on, other parts will keep changing. You can keep on adjusting entire life until we realize that we will fail or we will continue even after that, right? So the important message here is learn to be peaceful in spite of situations rather than because of situations, right? That is wisdom, right? Now, guna karmasu sajjante. Now, incomplete knowledge or partial knowledge about religion, right, is what causes the problem. Religion is not meant to control the world, but to grow out of ahankara and mamakara. So, those confused people of half knowledge, right, na vichalayet, wise person should not confuse definitely, right? He must educate properly. How? So, don't take the person out of karma yoga and bring him to jnanam. They are not yet ready for jnanam. So convert them from, as I said, selfish activities to selfless activities. Let them continue to go to the temple. Let them change to nishkama prayer. Educate them. You should not unsettle them, but educate them. Do not confuse. This is the duty of a jnani. So even though Arjuna is not a jnani, Krishna assumed Arjuna to be initially an agnani and advised, right? Now he says, even if you are a jnani, you have to fight this war. With this, that jnani topic is over and Krishna is going to come back to the original topic of karma yoga. And in this verse, he summarizes the entire karma yoga in one single verse, which is a very, very important verse. Very often quoted and we must learn by heart. Mai sarvani karmani, mai sarvani karmani, sanyasyadhyatma chetasa, nirashir nirmamo bhutva, nirashir nirmamo bhutva, yudhyasva vigata jvaraha, yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Arjuna, I know you are not a jnani, even though I assume that you are a jnani, right? And since you are an ajnani, you can come to jnanam later, right? For that, you have to follow karma yoga, which I explained from verse 8 to 20. That karma yoga you have to perform and I am condensing into one important verse. Okay, what is that? He talks about five principles of karma yoga, right? Sarvani karmani mai sannyasa. The sannyasa word here means arpanam or offering. Very important. I thought it's important to say that. Normally the word sannyasa means renunciation. Here it is dedication or offering or arpanam. So what should you dedicate? Sarvani karmani, all your activities, whether they are secular or sacred, dedicate to Mai, the Lord. Who is God here? Krishna does not define God or explain God now. the topic of God will be taken up from 7th chapter very, very elaborately and comprehensively discussed all the way up to 12th chapter. Right? Bhagavad Gita 7th to 12th chapter is a very good analysis of the nature of the God. There we will see the details. Here we will have a simple concept of God, and in the scriptures, God will be introduced to a seeker in three stages gradually. Those three stages we will see, right? We will just enumerate. First stage is, God is one who creates the world, right? We saw this briefly in introduction to Vedanta. For a person whose intellect is in the beginning stage, the God is a creator, okay? He will be given a particular form for the sake of worship. Different forms are given, even though the creator God is only one, right? Krishna, Rama, Devi, Lakshmi, Ganesha, all depends on our, what our like is, Ishta Devata. After our intellect ripens, we are ready for the next stage, right? Now the definition will change. God is one who himself manifests or becomes the world. God is one who himself becomes the world, just as gold becoming an ornament, without destroying itself. Similarly, God becomes the world without losing his godliness. This is the second definition of God when we are more prepared. Finally, the third one comes. God does not create, God does not become, but God appears as the world. Right? Like the dream world appearing in the dream state due to Nidra Shakti, God appears as this world in the waking state due to Maya Shakti. Right? So, exactly like the dream appears, the world appears. So, God creates the world, to God becomes the world, to God appears as the world. One is undergraduate, another is postgraduate, another has done PhD, you can assume, as a spiritual seeker, right? So, God, the creator of the world, he is the God, the creator, the sustainer, and the resolver. Shishti Sthiti Laya Karta Ishwara. So, here, may you dedicate your actions to that God, choosing any particular form that you like in our religious mall. Right? We have so many gods, whatever suits you. Right? Male goddess, female goddess, fierce form, nice form, child form, or Ardhanadeshwara, anything. You choose according to your likes. Right? And dedicate all your actions to that God. Right? We will see from the 7th chapter, right? Choose an Ishta Devata, Ishta Devata, and then follow that God and offer, do all the prayers with devotion, etc. Right? We have lot of Puranic stories. We can choose any one of them from any of the Puranic story. Right? And this can be, devotion can become part of your life and you can become a wonderful Bhakta. And this Bhakta-Bhagavan relationship, why is it important? Gradually, this relationship should become so strong that it should be stronger than every other relationship in this world. Whether it's your mother, father, your son, daughter, your spouse for that matter, right? So, any human relationship, our relationship with God should surpass that relationship. And for your peace, security and happiness, may you depend on this divine relationship. Very enjoyable. Even when no one is there, you can have a conversation with your Ishta Devata, Rama, Krishna, Devi as your mother. You will never feel loneliness in life, and therefore it is very, very important to develop Ishta Devata Bhakti and Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasa. Right? This is called Ishwararpana Bhava. Right? This is principle number one. Right? Offer everything at the altar of your Ishta Devata, right? And that is, for that you have to develop a relationship with the Ishta Devata. That is why we try and develop this relationship from childhood, so that when you are in the middle of your life and crisis hits you, you have a permanent strong relationship that you hold on. Like Swamiji gives this example of the Haridwar chain. having a bath in the Ganges is beautiful, but holding on to the chain, which is the permanent thing in your life, right? If you take a dip in the Ganges, then life becomes very enjoyable because you are depending on this Ishta Devata, this God for peace, security and happiness, right? We will continue with the rest of the principles in the next class because there are lot more to cover. Okay. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, let me. Yeah, the next few classes are on Sunday only. Let me just see if there are any hands raised here. Radha Suresh, you're self-muted.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I still don't understand what is Atma number 1 and Atma number 2. So far, I have understood Atma and Anatma, that the body is Purna Sarira, Sukshma Sarira, and Karna Sarira are all are Anatmas. And Atma is different, that is witnessing. But again, this Atma 1 and Atma 2, I couldn't.
Okay. Understand. I think you may not have attended chapter 2. If you can listen to the recording, it will be useful. Because what happens is Lord Krishna speaks about Atma number 1 only. Okay, there is only one Atma. Yes. Krishna speaks about that Atma only. Sarvagataha, right? Abhokta, Karta, etc. Suddenly, Krishna jumps to this verse on Vasansi Jirnani. Saying, the Atma removes the dress and moves from one body to another. Here, Krishna is not speaking about Atma number 1. Which is the Karta, Abhokta, Atma. He is talking about the Sukshma Karana Shariram along with the Chidabhasa dropping the body at the time of death. I've explained this in detail in that particular session. If you can at least listen to that one session, it will be useful. So this is not that there are two Atmas, etc. This is very important for you to understand because people who are not exposed to Gita go to, you know, a place to offer condolence. And they will say, may the soul rest in peace. Very important to understand that when you say, may the soul rest in peace, we are talking about Atma number 2 and not Atma number 1.
Okay.
Very important. Because Atma number 1 is all pervading, sarvagataha, akarta, abhokta, Atma, which has no punya papa. So in common parlance, people who are uninitiated, when they use this word, right, as well as Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself has used in Vasansi Jirnani, that particular verse, right, that Atma drops body. So that is why it is important to differentiate this. But generally, Atma means the Akarta, Abhokta, Sarvagata, Nirvikara, Atma.
Okay. Thank you. Madam.
Okay.
I'll go to the second chapter once again. Yeah.
That is fine. Huh? Anybody else? Let me just see this. I'll just see the questions also. Yeah, there are a few questions. During death, which gets rebirth, Atma too, along with the same Sukshma Shariram and Karanam Shariram. Yes, it is Atma too only. I just explained this. And then what happens to one's previous Shariram? Basically, the Stula Shariram is, at the time of death, that is the physical body that one leaves behind, right? So that is the Stula Shariram. And the Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, along with the Chidabhasa, is the one that takes rebirth. Okay, I think that's all we have questions. So, we can meet next week, same time. This is on Sunday, not on Saturday, 10th March 2019, 8:25 p.m. Okay? Namaste.